you have your Bibles with you here this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians, we spent a lot of time there when we were talking about spiritual gifts, but this time we are going to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, New Testament book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to go to chapter 2, and I am going to read verses 6 through 16. So, I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
And let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 6, God's word tells us this. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what another great portion of Scripture you have given us here today, that all Scripture is useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking and training the man and woman of God in righteousness. So, Father, I just pray that the Spirit of God will just fall upon us and teach us what these verses are going to, how they're going to impact our hearts, how they're going to impact our lives. And Father, I stand behind the cross as I speak this message here this morning. And I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart will be holy and pleasing to you. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to continue, this is week number 2 in our sermon series that I have titled, Understanding God. As we learn more about God's Word and God and the God that we serve, we're going to understand and learn a whole lot more about ourselves, and we're going to learn and understand more about others as we go on and go forward. I chose this passage here this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For today, because it's going to help us build a foundation on who can understand God and who cannot understand God. And I'm going to be referring to a lot of different scripture references here today as we go throughout this message. In our church bulletin, we have some fill in the blanks. We're immediately going to go to the first one and fill that out. So if you want to follow along with me, the first fill in the blank would say this. Unbelievers cannot understand God. Very simple. Unbelievers cannot understand God. The Word of God makes that perfectly clear. Verse 14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And cannot understand them. Why? Because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So you can't understand something that about something that you don't have within you yourself, and that's the Spirit of God. Other Bible translations might not use the word the person without the Spirit. It might say the natural man. And when it says the natural man, what it's referring to there is the person who is unsaved, the unbeliever. Again, the person without the Spirit of God. So, it's now story time with Pastor Mike here this morning. And I believe I've told this story before, but if you've heard it, bear with me. I got to tell it again. Many, many, many years ago when I was unsaved, it was either the late 70s or early 80s, Sunday afternoon was always a good day to watch football, the National Football League. As a matter of fact, it's still a good day to watch football in the National Football League. But I remember watching a game one time, I don't know who was playing, and the camera was panning the stands, and this one guy had this big sign that he was holding up like this. And on the sign said, John 3:16. And I thought, I believe that is a Bible verse. Now again, I'm not a Christian at this time. I said, I believe it's a Bible verse. I need to look that up because I had seen that sign at other games. I don't know if it was the same guy or who it was. But I saw that sign before and I said, I have to look that up to see what that says. What is this John 3:16? So the first thing I had to do was find the Bible. Now, I knew we had one because when we first got married in our unsaved days, we bought this nice big Bible that we could put out on our coffee table to impress all of our friends that come in to make them think, oh, these people are really spiritual. Well, we had a Bible on a coffee table, but I found that it was stuck in the closet somewhere. So I got it out, and I said, John 3:16. So I opened up the Bible, and I find John. At least I knew Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I knew that from some previous training that I had. John 3:16, and I looked it up, and John 3:16 said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish." And I read that. And I said, oh my, what does that mean? But you see, when you're unsaved, when you're the natural person, when you don't have the Spirit dwelling within you, you don't understand the things of God. The wisdom of the natural man, the one without the Spirit of God, has its mind set on everything in this natural plane somewhere. The natural man cannot think or grasp or understand anything outside of this natural plane. He cannot or she cannot understand things that are on a spiritual level. This is why, Beach Grove, it is totally useless. Here's some good advice for you. It is totally useless to get into a debate with an unbeliever about anything spiritual. You can't do it. Why? Because they do not understand God, nor do they have any spiritual wisdom to make any type of right judgment about God or about the Word of God. The only wisdom that the natural man or woman has, or the unbeliever has, is their own wisdom. So they make God out to be, and the Bible ought to be, exactly what they want God and the Bible to be. And their conclusions are too often incorrect. It's not worth your time, not worth your effort to try to get into a debate with them. In verse number 8 of this scripture reading that I read here this morning, the Apostle Paul tells us that none of the rulers of his time, and he's making a general statement there, none of the rulers of his time understood the wisdom of God. And he gives a reason why. He says this, because if they did, if they understood the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did not understand it, and therefore they did crucify the Lord of glory. But on the other side of that coin, the Bible tells us that believers, people like you and I, we can and we do understand God. So for the remainder of our time, let's talk about how that happens, why that happens, and how we can understand about God. Let's go to our second fill in the blank in our bulletin. So let's fill this one out. And before, and the answer is going to be pretty obvious, and you probably already have it filled out. But first, before I give you what that is, I got to lay down a very basic and fundamental biblical truth. And that truth would be this, and it's our second fill in the blank. All believers have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers do not. If you have Christ, you have the Spirit. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the Spirit. It's really quite that simple. Every true believer receives the Holy Spirit the moment that he or she receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink." Romans 8 verse 9 tells us this, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Key verse, bottom part of verse number 9. "And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Now, Paul kind of says that in a negative way, so let me put that in a positive way. If anyone has the Spirit of Christ, he belongs to Christ. So the simple question is this. If you belong to Christ, do you have the Spirit of God? And that answer would be, yes, we do. Very simple. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this. "Having believed," which we did as Christians, "you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." So let me sum up those three verses that I just gave you. So one, believers have been baptized into the body of Christ, into the church, into the bride of Christ. We're all one by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in, dwells in, as we say, indwells every believer. And third point, and that same Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance into eternal life. Every believer should have absolute assurance of his or her salvation. But I say this, and I believe I said it several weeks ago. Beware, there are some false theologies out there that will tell you that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a second act of grace, or they may use some other terms, maybe even a third act of grace, something that happens subsequent to salvation. That is not true theology. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. So when we go with that, let's put this equation together. So we are believers. If you're sitting here and you're a believer, you're part of this. We are believers, so we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, we're good. So by having the Holy Spirit, we can now understand the wisdom of God, says 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen? So we're believers. We have the Spirit of God. We can understand the wisdom of God. So now what I want to spend the remainder of our time on is this. How did we get saved? How did we get saved? Well, we could probably go around the room and everyone could tell their story. Well, I remember when I was here and this happened, or I was at this church and the preacher preached this message, or I was at Sunday school, and or I was at wherever. Many of you might know the exact time and place where you were at that moment of salvation in your life, and that's great. But that's not what I mean when I say, how did we get saved? But this is what I mean by how did we get saved. Did you know, in case you didn't know this, did you know that the Holy Spirit was extremely instrumental in saving you and saving me? Did you know that the entire Trinity was involved in your salvation and in my salvation? Let's start with the Father. John 6:44. It was the plan of the Father and the drawing of the Father that brought you to that salvation experience. Jesus Christ, it was the atoning work of the Son, Jesus Christ on the cross, says 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And the Holy Spirit, point number 3, it was the conviction of our sin and the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit in our lives that saved us. And that's Romans 2, 29. So what I'm going to do, again, I'm going to elaborate a little more on this process. The process by which every believer gets saved and the process by which we as believers can now understand the wisdom of God. There is a big difference in my life now when somebody put up that sign that said John 3:16, and I read it and I said, what does that mean? And now that I can read this book and the words become so much clearer. And if you've ever had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Fill in the blank number three. I'll give you a hint. The next three fill in the blanks, the answers are already inside your bulletin. They're on the bottom left-hand side on the inside cover. And the first one would say this. It all starts with revelation from God. It all starts with revelation from God. The only thing we know about God is what He has chosen to reveal to us. Okay? We need to understand that. So, every believer, even us believers, we will never know and understand everything there is to know about God. Why? Because He has chosen not to reveal some things to us. The question is, are you going to be okay with that? Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow the words of this law. So we know this, there are secret things that belong to the Lord, belong to God, that we will just never know and understand about Him. But we are quite curious human beings, aren't we? We kind of want to know a little bit about everything and about everybody. And a lot of times we put words where we shouldn't be putting words. But I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 13. And this is what Isaiah says, actually what God says through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 43, 10 through 13 says this. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? And what God is saying through the prophet Isaiah is this, that God has revealed Himself to us. He's revealed Himself in this whole wonderful book that we call the Bible. Amen? And this is God's revelation to us. So, on the other hand, getting back talking about the natural man, the guy that kind of stands over here, he's never going to understand God or understand the wisdom of God and find out about God by his own intellect and his own reason. Why? Because you can't get there from here. It can't happen. The natural reason of the natural man is flawed. It is corrupt. Therefore, the natural man cannot get to God, so God must do what? He must get to us. And He begins that process by revelation. He reveals Himself to us through the Word of God. Our next fill in the blank number four. It continues with inspiration from the Holy Spirit. So first we had revelation, now we have inspiration from the Holy Spirit. We know that familiar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that tells us that all Scripture is what? Is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed, as the Word says, and it is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we know that God's Word is inspired, and along with that, we have to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that says this, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what those two verses are saying is this. There were men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write what we have is now known as God's Word, or the Bible. It was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to certain individuals to write what we have. So the Father chose to reveal Himself and reveal His wisdom to us, and He accomplished that by having the Holy Spirit inspire men to write this great book that we call the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. So now we have revelation and we have inspiration, and there's one last word that we want to put down there, and that would be the word illumination. The believer gets saved by the illuminating or the illumination work of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. By the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. Now, you might say, well, Mike, well, why didn't that verse 3:16 hit you when you read it that time? Well, I guess it just wasn't my time. The Scriptures had to be explained to me. Remember the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8? There was the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading the Scriptures and he's reading Isaiah, what we call Isaiah 53. And he's saying, and Philip goes up to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless somebody does what? Explains the Scriptures to us, or to me. Yes, you and I are saved because the Holy Spirit revealed and illuminated that truth to us. John chapter 16, verse 8 says this, when He comes, meaning the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus talking, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. You and I are saved because we were convicted of our sin. Amen? We're convicted of our sin. We knew that we were void of any righteousness whatsoever. Amen? Our second truth that we came to know. And we come to the third truth of this. Because of all that, we come to the knowledge of we deserve judgment for this. We came to that conclusion. May I be so bold as to say this, that if anyone says, in the world says that they are a believer, and they do not know those three things, that one, yes, I am a sinner, I'm convicted of my sin. Number two, I am void of any righteousness on my own. The only righteousness I got is that which was imputed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And number three, because of my sinful nature, I deserve judgment. I really deserve hell. If somebody says that they don't believe those three things, I seriously would be bold enough to question their salvation. Because my salvation and your salvation is based on the fact that we are nothing more than dirty, filthy, rotten sinners. Amen? A lot of people don't like to use those words. I like to use those words because I was a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner, saved by the grace of God. Amen? I have no problem saying that. Yes. Well, all the dirty, filthy, rotten sinners, please come forward. That would be me. Yes, I'll come forward, God. If it means salvation, it means eternal life, and it means that one day I'm going to spend eternity with you, by golly, that's exactly what I am. Amen? Amen. We have to come to that knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Again, we read that earlier. It says this, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed by His Spirit. Did you know that the things that you know about God have been revealed to you by the Spirit? Have you ever noticed that every time you sit down to read God's Word, sometimes you just learn a little bit more? Do you ever read a portion of Scripture that you've read 1,000 times before and you say, I never saw that? Isn't that great? God's Word is active, and it's a double-edged sword. And every time you read it, there's something new and fresh about it, isn't it? Amen? It's new. One last thing that I'd like to point about illumination, because this is important. Last year, I believe it was in July, I preached a 4-week sermon series on something called natural theology. That is the belief that a person can be saved without ever hearing the gospel or without ever knowing anything at all about Jesus Christ. That is not good teaching, and that is not what the Bible teaches. Romans 10:17 says this, makes it perfectly clear, that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Word of God. It's so simple. It's so simple. You can't live in a vacuum. You can't live on some deserted island and never know or hear the gospel and never hear about Jesus and expect to be saved. That's why we have missionaries all over the world going out into the world and doing things like that so people can hear the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says this. He says, he is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. First to the Jew and then to the Greek. Folks, if there is no gospel, there can be no salvation. But if you know the gospel, you can know salvation. So why is it that a believer can be at a place where he or she can understand the wisdom of God like we can? Because one, God chose to reveal it to us. Number two, because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write this wonderful book we call the Word of God. And because of the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes and taken the scales off our eyes as he did the Apostle Paul, that we could see the wonderful works and Word of God. God desires our praise and glory. And God is worthy of all of our praise and glory. And God says this in Isaiah, he's not going to share his glory with anyone or anything. So from him and through him and for him are all things. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.